Good morning. That's better. It is a pleasure for me to be here with you today and to share with you from the word of the Lord. And also, it is a time for me to thank you for your partnership along the years. Because of you and your partnership, we have seen God make great impact into the island of Haiti. Thank you for all your support and prayers and partnership. As we look at the word this morning, I would like to pay your attention in the book of 2 Timothy. We will look at verse 1 to verse 7 from the second chapter. And as I look at this text together, and we will tag it together as be faithful to our call. And let us read God's word. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach them to others also. Suffer hardship with me as soldiers of Christ Jesus. No soldiers in active service entangled himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Father, as we look at this text together, we pray that you'll use it to encourage our heart and to motivate our heart to be faithful to our call. May you speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul, who is the author of this book, he was very concerned because of the suffering that he was facing. He was concerned for Timothy, who will be the one that will carry the message after he is long gone. It was a time of opposition, and Paul was writing here as he was facing death. He was about to be executed by the Roman for charge that he was a persecutor or that he was a revolutionary against the state. And Timothy, as his successor, needed encouragement. And so Paul was writing this letter to encourage a young pastor and to give him some guidelines that will help him to remain faithful. As you know, it was the time of Nero, and after he burned the city of Rome and blamed it on the Christians, so it was a very difficult time. But Paul, while he was in prison at Rome, he knows that was his final time of imprisonment. Paul was not expected to come out. It was different from when he was in prison in his house. Here he was treated as criminal, and he had no personal liberty. But while Paul was at Rome, Timothy was in Ephesus, and it was about the first century. So Paul was writing to Timothy and encouraging him to remain faithful to his call because of the gospel. He was encouraging him to remain in the faith that he has learned from his grandma, the faith that he has learned from his mother and from Paul himself. Paul was encouraging Timothy to remain in the truth that he has learned and convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes this book to to provide comfort, encouragement, and motivation to distressed Christians, to be encouraged, to be strong, and to endure hardship, even in hard time. I like the way Timothy Keller put it this way, as he summarized the book of 2 Timothy. He said, it is a charge to guard the gospel, to suffer for the gospel, as you develop character in keeping the gospel, so that you may continue to preach the gospel without any hesitation. So as we look at this text this morning, I would ask this question: why should we be faithful to our call? But as we look at this text together, there are three truths that reveals in this text that should encourage us to be faithful to our call. The first one, we find it in verse 1. In verse 1, this is what Paul wrote: you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We should be faithful to our call because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. As we remember what we deserve, for the scripture teach us that there is none righteous, no, not even one. As we look at the scripture, we are reminded that the scripture teach us we are by nature children of wrath. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The scripture teach us that the wage of sin is death. So there is the gift of God in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as we look at this text, it should motivate us to be reminded and to remember the grace of God in Christ Jesus. What is the grace of God? How was it manifested in Christ? The Bible said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sin. It is the undeserved favor and blessing that you and me have received from God. The scripture teaches us that our intellect was corrupt. Our mind wanted to do only the things that will satisfy itself. Our conscience was corrupt. Our will and desire was only to do the things that bring glory to ourselves. As we look at in the book of Romans, we see that God gave them to their depraved mind. But God, by his love, he sent his only son. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin. He sent him and came and lived like a man who suffered. And God punished his own son for our sake. God has imputed on his own son our filthy rag and our sin, that he has become sin for us. Isaiah put it this way: he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon his shoulder. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And the Lord has laid upon his son the punishment that you and me deserved. That Jesus Christ, that he died and he was buried. Then he rose again from the dead on the third day. And the power that raised him from the dead is the power also that sealed us and declare us righteous, and that breathe new life into us. For the scriptures say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. So because of Christ's death, now we were enemies of God. But because of his death and his resurrection, now he become our mediator, that we can have relationship with God. We have a new relationship. We are no longer dead, but we are alive. We are no longer slave, but we are son. You don't want to say amen because you know if you say amen, I will go to another tangent. But I have to carry with me a manuscript so that I can follow. Otherwise, I go for an hour. But as we look at here, we see that we have a new position. We are no longer slaves. We should be faithful to our call because of the grace of God. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We should be faithful because of the grace of God. I like the way Paul put it and said this way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So even as we involve in ministry, sometimes we want to do it in our own strength, and sometimes we forget the reason why we do it. But we should always be reminded that it is by the grace of God we are who we are. It is by the grace of God we are called to be His servant and to preach His word. I have a young boy in one of our orphanage. He was living in the city of Gonaives, and we had a major flood. And this young boy, his family died, and we had a hurricane that spent 4 days in that city. And it flooded the whole city, 21 foot of water. And about 6,000 people died during that period of time. And he also lost his parents. So for 2 years, he was living under the bridge and could not take care of himself. And as we had established a church and the orphanage there in the city of Gonaives, the mayor of the city brought this young boy into our orphanage. Then we received this boy and we give him a room. One day, the road was very bad at that time. It's very bumpy. And I drove from Kais to Gonaives. It was about a 9-hour drive. And when I get there, my car was very dirty, muddy, and my windshield, my headlights was very dim, could not see well. And this young boy went under his bed, and he had a very nice T-shirt that we give him as he's there. And he go and take his clean T-shirt and start to clean the windshield of my car and start to clean the headlights. And I become very unhappy because that orphanage where we are, we have no water. And we had to carry water by truck. And I said, why, Stanley, how are you doing this? You know we don't have water here. And with tears in his eyes, and he said to me, he called me Daddy, Papi Donnie. He said, Papi Donnie, the reason why I am doing this is because I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for bringing me in. I want to say thank you because when I was living under the bridge, for me to find the next meal, sometimes I need to clean cars as they pass by and they will give me something. When it's rain, I get wet. But when I'm here, now I have a home. When I was under the bridge, I had no friends. But now I have friends. When I was under the bridge, I did not have food to eat. But now I can eat. When I was under the bridge, I did not have a church and I could not go to school. But I'm just cleaning your car, Daddy, just to say thank you. Thank you for taking me in. And as we involve in ministry, may we be faithful to our call because of the life that has been imputed to us. We don't deserve it. We did not work for it. But it is God by His grace who declares us righteous. But as He calls us also, He has given us great responsibilities. So the second truth that we see is in verse 2, as we continue to look at the text. He said that we should be faithful to our call because of the responsibility that God has entrusted to us. Look at verse 2. It says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Here he said, first of all, the truth that we have received, the new life that we have received, to pass it on to other men or women. Faithful men, reliable men, men of quality, men that are available. There's someone, he called them faithful, available, and teachable. They called them fat people. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work that he has prepared in advance for us to accomplish. But as we look at throughout this book, we see Paul also is trying to show Timothy that there were a lot of different men that were in ministry with him that were not faithful. And today, as we look at the church, there are many churches that are no longer preaching the word of truth. Some become very traditional. Some become very legalistic. They become like the Pharisees. They add to the word of God. Some become very liberal, where they take the word away from the word of God. They're no longer preaching the truth. But this is why I love the PCA. I love the Reformed Church, because we preach the word of God. And we teach what God says in his word. We don't add, we don't take off. But Paul is saying to Timothy, look at in chapter 1, verse 15. He said, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia have deserted me, including Philogelus and Hermogenes." Look at in chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. He said that, "Avoid godless chatter, because those who have indulged in it become more and more ungodly. Their teaching spread like gangrene. Among them was Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth." Even go in chapter 3. In every chapter, Paul is showing Timothy there are a lot of men, but they are not teaching the truth. But we need to find men and women that are faithfully and available to teach to others. In chapter 3, in verse 6 to 9, now he talks about Jannes and Jambres who opposed Moses. He's trying to show Timothy, not only they opposed me in my time, but also Moses has faced the same problem, and you will face it as well. He even go to chapter 4, and he said, Damas fell in love with the present world and has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Then he said, "Alexander, the coppersmith, did me great harm. Beware of him also, for he strongly opposed the message." So we should be faithful to our call by taking the responsibility and to pray and to teach and entrust that truth to faithful men, men and women that will live the gospel, that will preach the gospel, not only in words, but the life will be a true representative of God's word. And that's why he goes and gives us three metaphors or three different examples of people. Look at verse 3. He said, "Suffer the truth, enduring like a soldier." A soldier don't get tired or with the civilian life. Please follow your commander in chief. A good soldier follows his leader and fulfills the duty that he requires of him. As the scriptures say, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. A good soldier faces many trials, but persevere to the end. A good soldier will give himself, will give his time, will give his energy, will give his money, will give his possession, will give himself. Are you willing to give all for the sake of Christ? And so that the gospel will be proclaimed to you, to your word. We have a university, and we call the University of Jeremy, and it's 40% Christian, 60% Catholic. And the 60% Catholic, as they come to the university, because they hear God's word constantly in devotion. So as they go to second year, it's become 50-50. Third year, it becomes 60. And then it's and gone. We have a Catholic nun and Sister Christine who came to study in business administration and education. And as she's there, she came to know the Lord. But she wants to remain in the Catholic Church. So she's our missionary in the Catholic Church there, because she has been transformed by the gospel. But we have a young girl, and her name is Joanne. Joanne is a very strong soldier for Christ. Her father was a witch doctor, and a witch doctor in the mountains of Beaumont. And when we started the university, he was the only one who came and for the first year paid fully the full tuition for his daughter. And as Joanne was in the school, and every the summertime, we give them 2 months off. So it was time for her to return back home. But as a witch doctor, her father used to abuse her sexually, and also use her as a mean, as a conduit to call certain spirit and to do certain rituals. And as Joanne come to know the Lord, when she returned home, her father said, "Tonight, I'm going to use you to do certain things." And then he came to her room and wanted to do some things to her. And then she stood up in the bed and said, "Father, I just got here today, but I have not had time to talk with you. But I'm not the same Joanne that I was yesterday or when I was here. I have a new father, and my body is his temple. And I can no longer let you do what you used to do to me in the past." He said, "If I can't, I will deny you as my daughter." She said, "Father, if that's what you desire, but I will not." And he took her bags and he threw them outside and he said, "Go out. I never knew you." With tears in her eyes, she carried all of her bags, returned back to the school, crying, did not know what to do. They bring her to my office. And then we give her a room in the dorm. We give her a full scholarship. And to make the story short, she graduated last year with honor. And in January that is coming, she's going to get married to one of the pastors. Isn't God great? God is good. So therefore, we should be faithful as we carry and entrusted the ministry that he has given to us. We should be faithful to our call because of the responsibility that he has given to us, not only to live it as a soldier, but also to live it as an athlete. An athlete follow the rules. An athlete follow the finish line so that they could win the prize. I like the way Psalm 119 said, David said, "I had the word of God in my heart so that I will not sin against him." How can a young man keep his way pure? It's by living according to the word of truth. So many of us today, God is calling us. We're so busy, but we don't have time to spend in his word so that we'll know him and so that we'll know how to live and to please him in all we do. There was a young lady, an older lady, she had a son. And her son, she invited him to church every Sunday. But she doesn't know how to read. But every time the church is open, she is there. And he said to mom, "Mom, you go to church, but you don't remember anything. Why should I go?" The mom had a basket very dirty, full of webs and full of dirt. And the mother, there was a running stream there, and she said, take the basket and go get me some water from the stream. So he went. He wanted to obey his mom. He said, Mom, bring the basket, the water, just carry it a little bit, and his old clothes get wet. He said, go back. He said, Mom, I'm not going back. You know it can't carry water. But he said, okay, I go. He goes a second time. When he returned, and the mom said, go again. He said, no, I'm not going. He put it down. And the mom said, look at the basket. What do you see? He said, I saw that you make me clean it. Because every time I put water, all the dirt and everything comes in. And he said, my son, every time I go to church, I hear the word of God. The word of God cleans me. It purifies me. It gives me guidelines to know how to please my master. As good athlete, do you do practice? Do you spend time in God's word so that you'll know God and to make him known? And that's what the author is trying to encourage us as good athlete to follow the guidelines, to follow the rules. But to know also as a farmer work hard. A farmer work hard and endure his labor. A farmer work hard and clean and prepare and study the field and clean and according in order to produce to full capacity. What about you? What do you do with the gospel that God has entrusted to you? Many of us said it is the job of the pastor. The job of Pastor Jeff or Pastor Jared or Pastor Jordan. We all have a call. And the call that God has given to each one of us is to preach the message of the gospel. Whether we're at home, whether in our communities, whether in our schools, whether in our jobs, whether he sent us from here to another country. But my question is for you today, are you faithfully fulfill your calling? Because we are all a call to preach the gospel. And thirdly, as we look at this text, I would like just to read verse 8 to verse 13. In verse 8 to verse 13, we will see that we should be faithful to our call because the God that is called us is faithful to accomplish his purpose. The God that is calling us is a dependable God. We can trust him. We can lean on him. We can depend on him. Whatever he said, come to pass. Amen? I know you don't want to say amen. But remember, this is what he said in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment. As a criminal, but the word of God, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Paul said he fought the good fight, he finished the race, he kept the faith. But my friend, my brothers, we should be faithful to our call because of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the grace of Christ, we should be faithful to our call because of the responsibility that God has given to us to teach the truth, to live the truth like a soldier, to live the truth like an athlete, to live the truth like a farmer that works hard But also we should be faithful to our call, because the God that we serve is a dependable God, is a faithful God that gave us a promise that he will go with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And as we go into our different communities, may we remain faithful to preach the gospel through word and through deeds. I'll finish this way. Leonard Dober, that's the shortest message I ever preach. Leonard Dober determined that God will call him to reach the slave in the Virgin Island. He planned to reach these men and women by selling himself as a slave and working alongside others each day while sharing Jesus' love with them. The thought of being a slave frightened him and sickened him, and he dreaded the treatment that he would receive. But Christ was willing to die on the cross for me, he thought. No price is too high to serve him. But it was not the slave masters who were Dober's harshest persecutors, but rather it was his fellow Christians. They questioned his call to minister to slaves, and they ridiculed him as a fool for his plan. But Dober will not be dissuaded. He arrived in the Virgin Island in the 1730s. He moved to a mud hut where he could work one-on-one with slaves. In just 3 years, Dober was able to reach 17,000 new converts. I wonder if we are remain faithful to our call, what God could accomplish to us. All he asks us is to be faithful. Let us pray. Quelle assurance, je suis sauvé. Quel avant-goût du ciel m'est donné. Né de l'esprit baptisé de feu, rayé de nouveau, je vis pour Dieu. C'est mon cantique, c'est mon histoire. Alléluia, je chante sa gloire. Oh, gloire, alléluia. Gloire au Sauveur, gloire éternelle à mon Rédempteur. This is my story. You can join. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Father, may you use your word to encourage us and empower us to remain faithful to our call. to remain faithful to our call because of the grace that is in Christ Jesus and because of the responsibility that you have given to us and because that you are a dependable God who is faithful to carry us through. As we go, your Spirit will empower to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray.